You are listening to the Stain Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network. The Stain Gang Podcast gives an inside view into Midwestern State athletics and offers an opportunity to catch up with student-athlete alumni, relive stories, and discover where they are now. It's the Stain Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network.
Everyone is trying to do their part, especially now. And your Ford dealer is built to lend a hand. If your vehicle needs service, just call. Ford service centers are essential to your community and are still open. Find out about pickup and delivery options from participating Ford dealers. Plus, they've implemented enhanced cleaning measures for added peace of mind. After all, you have a lot to take care of. Let us do our part and help take care of you.
Welcome to today's edition of the Stain Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers. I am Trey Reed. Today, I'm joined by Midwestern State alum Kristen Rydell. Rydell was presented the Marie Morgan Award as Midwestern State's Most Outstanding Student Athlete in 2018, following a stellar playing career at MSU. A star in the classroom, she was named a Lone Star Conference Scholar Athlete following her senior year. She earned LSE Academic Player of the Year honors in 2018 and was twice named to the league's all-academic team. On the floor, Rydell played in 80 games in three seasons after transferring from Colorado School of Mines, helping the Mustangs to a pair of Lone Star Conference postseason tournament appearances. The sharpshooter from Hutto knocked down 107 three-pointers in her three seasons for the Mustangs. She graduated with her nursing degree in 2018 and currently works in the Pediatric Intensive Care Unit at Dell Children's Medical Center in Central Texas, located in Austin. We welcome Kristen Rydell to the Stain Gang Podcast. Glad to have you with us, Kristen.
Thanks for having me, Trey.
And when you look at your time now, it's got to be a little hectic, always working in a hospital environment, but working in the healthcare industry. Tell us about your typical day as a nurse in the pediatric intensive care unit.
That's a hard question because every day is different. You really just don't ever know what you're going to walk into. You kind of just have to be on your toes and ready at all times in case we do have a trauma come in, or you could have like a little lighter assignment, but we do deal with like the sickest kids in the hospital, and we have a lot of intubated kids, and some days can be very, very hard. But for the most part, you're just so busy, you don't even have time to think about anything. You're just kind of going. I will say though, I've had times on my drive home where I've cried. You kind of just, everything that you've done that day or whatever that family's been going through or that child's going through, it'll hit you. It all makes it worth it whenever we have these, like, we do have, like, a, you know, we do lose some kids, but we have a lot, some miracle cases and stuff, and it just makes it all worth it when you feel like you've been able to make a difference in that child's life or that family's life and all that. It's definitely I love my job, for sure.
And with the recent pandemic with coronavirus, how's that impacted life as a nurse in the Dell Children's Medical Center?
Well, thankfully, we actually haven't had any positive cases. Like, none of our kids have been positive for the virus, which is a blessing and stuff. But the virus doesn't also affect kids as much as it affects adults. We have our adult facilities down here in Austin that have several cases and have had a few deaths recently, and they're getting hit much harder. But we've actually done pretty well, thankfully. But we have had coworkers who've gotten sick. And so we have other things implemented, not only to protect us from each other, but also to protect our children, because they're all, you know, compromised. So we don't want to bring anything into them. So we wear masks, we get screened, we have to distance ourselves, we've limited visitors, a whole bunch of different things to make sure that we are staying safe as well as our children.
And you mentioned the masks, and well, we hear a lot of stories on the news about shortages of personal protective equipment. Has that impacted your job and in the Austin area?
Some of the adult facilities, I think, are a little shorted. I know I have a friend who works at adult facility actually in the Corona unit, and he's having to reuse his mask, which is actually not what you want to do. But like for us, for example, if we need certain equipment, we have to get it approved now to make sure that we're not wasting any. They're not going to not give us equipment, but they want to make sure that there is essentially a for sure need for it. But we haven't had a huge issue with shortages. They're just trying to make sure that we don't run out eventually.
What led you to pursue a career in nursing, and in particular, work with kids?
Well, mostly, I do love to take care of people. I really do have, I think, a big heart and like to care for people. But originally what led me to nursing was my anatomy class. I really found it interesting in the way the body works and all that. So I took, I went and talked to somebody or one of the head people at the school and thought about doing like an athletic trainer. But it didn't work with basketball, like our schedules and stuff, even though nursing doesn't either. And somehow someone suggested that our nursing program was really good at MSU. So I went for it and got into the program. Somehow made it work with basketball, and I actually began to love it. And I chose children specifically because they're the most vulnerable population. I feel like you can have a bigger heart for caring for them. Some of the adults, I feel like, I'd just get annoyed by. But the kids are vulnerable, and they just need somebody who's going to advocate for them. And it makes me feel great to be that person that can advocate for them while they're sick and help them get better and get to a better place.
You're listening to the Mustang Gang podcast presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Mustangs Digital Network. I'm visiting with former women's basketball standout Kristen Riddell. Kristen, you first attended Colorado School of Mines and studied engineering. Was it a desire? You kind of covered that already, but obviously you didn't struggle with engineering and you ended up doing fairly decent with the Wilson School of Nursing as well, and you kind of explained how you got to that, but how did you arrive at Mines at first going towards engineering?
Well, I wanted to play basketball, but I also didn't want to play college basketball until my senior year of high school. I was never actually serious about basketball until kind of late compared to most people. And I only went to one showcase tournament ever. And I had a few coaches interested in me, but the Mines coach was super interested in me. She saw me play one time, and she said she knew she wanted me from that. And I went on a visit to the school, and the campus was gorgeous. It was the best academic school that was recruiting me at the time. I didn't know what I wanted to be, and I was like, well, I'm good at math and science. Let's do it. And so I committed and went to Mines. And then I just kind of realized, like, the classes weren't hard. I mean, they were hard, but I was able to do fine in the classes, but I just realized engineering just wasn't really the best fit for me.
At what point did you arrive at that? Because obviously an engineer, your income with what you're going to do is probably way up there, especially if you look at some of the School of Mines numbers and what they produce and how they recruit towards that. But at what point did you know that was the day that you didn't want to do engineering?
The hardest thing too for me was the money, because it is, which I think is a crazy statistic, but even above Harvard, it's like the number one school when it comes to like average income straight out of college, which is incredible, right? So it's like, why would you even want to leave a situation like that? But it was just, I just really wasn't happy. I wasn't really happy at the school either. Don't get me wrong, I have some friends that are going to be lifelong friends from there. But I just didn't want to work in that environment. for my rest of my life. I still wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do coming out of mine. I knew that, like, leaving, I wanted to go to a liberal arts school that had multiple options for a career, or for, I guess, for a major to start a career from. But it just didn't feel right.
So you finally got into the nursing program at Midwestern State. What has that program meant to you as you've started your nursing career? How much have you taken from what you've learned both in and outside of the classroom while you're in the program?
Oof, a lot. I mean, I honestly, like, one of the main reasons I did choose nursing, not only because I do like to care for people, but it's job security. I mean, especially what we're going through right now, like, I have a job. There's a lot of Americans who don't have jobs. So I'm very blessed that I'm still able to work in this time and pay my bills and all that. But the nursing program itself, I feel like it did give me a good foundation going into actual nursing. But, like, nursing after nursing school is, like, a whole different beast. There was still a huge learning curve. There's a huge learning curve every single day. I'm constantly learning new things, bettering my skills, all that. But I do think that the program did set me up with a good foundation and a good base knowledge for becoming a nurse now.
So you're starting your career, you're in the hospital the first time. Was there ever that moment in your first couple of days where you're like, what am I doing? I mean, is there anything that frightened you at that point?
That's like, you still have that sometimes even after your first couple of days. There's definitely days where I'm like, what? Why did I choose this? And then there's days that I'm like, wow, this is like what I was meant to do. Like, that you're, I feel like you're going to have that with any job, you know, because there's nothing's ever perfect in life. You know, there's always going to be ups and downs. But I definitely have had some moments where I'm just like, oh, I am doing this again. Why am I here? And then you'll have the next week you'll come in and you'll be like, wow, this is exactly what I want to be doing.
So from this point, when you look into the future a bit, where do you want to be in your career as a nurse in 5 or 10 years?
Oof. That's kind of what I've been kind of thinking about lately. I know for sure, at least within the 5-year mark, I want to have a lot more certifications. I want to get my CCRN, like my critical care, basically like a critical care certificate. I want to get like a trauma nurse certificate. I want to get a bunch of certificates, but more long-term wise, I would like to eventually go back to school and get my master's. I haven't completely decided. Originally, I was kind of stuck on doing nurse practitioner. But after all this has happened, like this corona stuff, as well as I did I studied abroad in London for half a summer the year after I was done playing. And we did a public health class out there. And I'm really interested in public health. So I thought about doing some sort of master program that would center around public health. But I haven't really quite decided yet.
What is it about public health that truly interests you?
I think what's interesting is, well, I'm a numbers person, so it's really interesting to see the numbers, like statistics too, on like how how certain things do also play a part in like our everyday, like just how different things have a, like, for example, like with our virus right now, like how different things, like the social stuff, how it's like affecting what how many people are getting sick, and like how long is it going to take for this to happen, how is it going to affect this. And then like when we were in London, we learned a lot about like their cholera epidemic that was like in the 1600s or 1700s, and then how it's affected London and how they've grown from that, but how they haven't learned from it as well, which I think is very interesting.
So you might be able to see yourself as an epidemiologist?
Yeah, I think that would actually be pretty cool.
I think it's kind of fun to say that. And I love hearing the epidemiologists now, because they seem like they had the most interesting things to say. And quite like you, probably in a different way. I work with numbers every day. Mine are in points, averages, and stuff like that. But I totally understand and get the just the infatuation with numbers, you know, because I think back in the day, I was probably pretty similar to you as far as, you know, liking mathematics courses, algebra, and just about everything that goes along with it, except you were able to take it one step further than me, Kristen.
Well, also, numbers don't lie, so that's why I think they're interesting. Like, you can't go wrong. And it's interesting to see how, just kind of a little side note, but it's interesting for me that I'd like to see is how long this virus will go on for, you know, until we find some sort of antiviral or cure or something. Because if you look back at the Spanish flu, literally 100 years ago, it killed 30 million people. We're nowhere near that many, right?
Right.
But how much longer is this gonna go for? You know what I mean?
Right, because Spanish
flu.
So
I think numbers are interesting.
Because yep. 3 years with the Spanish flu, and then if you compare, we're really early in this one, if it were to last that long. But as a nurse, I think it's important too. What are the ways that people can avoid, you know, contracting COVID-19?
I mean, to be honest, they're telling us all the right things in the news. At least all the simple things that you can do. I mean, just not going out, staying in your house, not being around a whole bunch of people, washing your hands, don't touch your face. All the like really simple things is all you really need to do to prevent it. I mean, that's about all you can do. It's still it seems to be very contagious, you know, because people are getting it and not even being symptomatic, and some people are dying from it, which is crazy. But I think too, Americans need to take it like a little more serious than we are. Some people are taking it serious, and then some are acting like it's nothing. So until we take it a little more serious, or until we get like a real sure answer for it, I don't think much is going to change with society right now.
You're listening to the Sting Gang Podcast, brought to you by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers. We'll continue our conversation with Midwestern State alum Kristen Riedel after this.
Everyone is trying to do their part, especially now. And your Ford dealer is built to lend a hand. If your vehicle needs service, just call. Ford service centers are essential to your community and are still open. Find out about pickup and delivery options from participating Ford dealers. Plus, they've implemented enhanced cleaning measures for added peace of mind. After all, you have a lot to take care of. Let us do our part and help take care of you.
The Sting Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers, continues. I am Trey Reed, and our guest is MSU alum Kristen Riedel. And Kristen, we touched on this a little bit before, but you transferred from Colorado School of Mines to Midwestern State. What helped in that transition? How did you end up in Wichita Falls?
So when I was transferring, I was kind of like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I still wanted to play basketball. I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to study. But I knew that MSU, but it was kind of weird though, because it kind of all seemed to fall like perfectly in place. I knew that MSU was in our same region. It was really good that year. So I tried to reach out to Coach Jay, but my coach at Mines didn't release me. It took me like 2 months to get finally like released. And after talking to Coach Jay like one time, she was like sounded pretty eager. She was like ready for me to come on a visit. It was like right before the end of the semester over there. And I was like driving home and MSU was on the way. And so going from basically Denver, Colorado to Austin, Texas, you can almost drive right through Wichita Falls. So it was like perfect. So I stopped and I played with the team, and it was like some of the funnest basketball I'd played since before college, to be honest, since my first year at Mines. And talking to Coach Jay and stuff, it just felt like the right place to be. felt like home already. So I committed and ended up going to MSU.
And you faced not only the challenge of transferring, but one, as we've said before, you're an engineering major and you're having to search for what you were going to do next. What was the challenge of really shifting from engineering to what ended up being nursing? Was that any academic challenge to you?
It's definitely different. You go from like a more of a numbers, like everything, they're both hard, but in their own way. So engineering, everything's based off right. It's either right or it's wrong. It's you do a problem and you get your answer if it's right or it's wrong, right? But in nursing, it's a lot more critical thinking. It's a lot more like this could kind of be right or this could kind of be right. You could do this, but what's going to be more beneficial to your patient? You want to do this first. It's a lot different, like shifting of ways you have to think, which at first was a little bit of a challenge, but I think I eventually figured it out and actually kind of enjoyed the critical thinking. Makes you view all your options more and then try to decide what would be best for your patient.
So your critical thinking, was that something that translated to the basketball court? I mean, you're a sharpshooter. You hit 107 three-pointers, but you're also someone that could think out on the floor. So how does that relate?
I think it did. I mean, I think playing basketball actually helped me build a foundation to be able to critically think. I honestly believe basketball built a lot of different attributes and foundations that I like follow now. But definitely, I was more of a methodical, like when I played, I definitely thought about things a lot more. I think I have a good IQ on the court, and so I think it helps me, in the classroom as well.
That teamwork on the floor, that says a lot about the women's basketball program. You, on alumni days, you see 20, 25, 30 alums really from, Noel Johnson's era. What were some of the things? How close were those teams that you played on?
Very close. I mean, playing with all girls, you're going to have your little cat fights here and there. But I just feel like Coach Jay was like, she was just such a mother figure to all of us. And I mean, even if we didn't like each other, we liked her. So like, there was always something that brought us all together. And we played at the D2 level. So we're getting paid to play, but some people aren't, and everybody just loves the game, you know? And so I think that she just brought us all together too.
What did it mean for you to play for Noel Johnson?
I mean, it meant a lot. I think the biggest thing for me is, even though I may not have showed it on the court, I lacked a lot of self-confidence. But she always had a lot of confidence in me. I know there had been times where I would go to her office and just be like, what can I do? Like, how can I be better for you and for the team? Just how can I be better? You know, and she was like, not just saying that I can't get better, but, you know, she would give me that confidence, like, help me see, like, how good I was. I think ultimately brought a better player out of me than I knew that I could be.
You know, everybody has kind of a moment with Coach Jay when you talk to all the former student athletes that have been through the program. They have this a funny moment, maybe a serious moment. But is there a time that you recall, or maybe you had a good laugh, or maybe just something that's just stuck with you?
I have a couple, you know, like a one moment that I remember, like from a team perspective, that at the time it was like, oh, shoot kind of thing. We had a midnight practice, first off, terrible. And we pissed her off, which we were very good at doing. And we all were on the line running and she was mad and she kicked the ball from the floor all the way into the top stand. I don't know how she got it up there. And we were all just like, did this lady really do that? She definitely like knew how to get our attention. That's for sure. But I'd say like moment for me personally, like I said, she always instilled a lot of confidence in me. But it was like my senior year on the court. And I had actually got like hurt in practice. And for a moment, I thought I had torn my ACL. Like, they weren't sure. And I like sat down and talked to her. And I was just scared and I was worried. And I wanted to be able to finish that year with my team. It was like a few games in, like, would I lose my whole senior season? I was just very, I mean, I was jumping to conclusions, of course, but I was just very like freaked out. And like, I had worked all summer and I was trying to, I just like had like a lot of anxiety about it and stuff. And she was able to like be there for me for that and calm me down and give me reassurance. And I ended up like only spraining something and had like a couple sprains and a bone bruise, which still hurt a lot. But at the end of the day, it was just that she was like still there for me. Like, I didn't have any family out there. And so she just took that mother role for me and like helped me through that. I had never experienced even any, I've never even like sprained my ankle. Like, I was very blessed to never have any injuries throughout like my whole like career of playing. And I, it's my senior year and I get in, like, injured, and I was just like, I don't even know what to do. And just her like being there for me was great. It was amazing. It meant so much.
You were able to come back to town, caught the Texas A&M International game, which is a TV game. And ironically, it was first game that Coach Day was out this year. What was that visit like? And what do you remember from that day of watching this year's team play?
Man, I mean, I was very disappointed and devastated I wasn't able to see Coach Day. I really wanted to see her when I went out there. But it was crazy seeing the girls play, because I hadn't seen them. This year I hadn't seen them play, honestly. I'd been busy with work and been in Austin and haven't had a chance to go out there. But it just seemed like they're playing for much more than themselves. Like, it was like there was an angel on the court with them or something, which is crazy. But it just, they were playing for something much bigger, and it just helps you remember like what basketball really is. Like, it's more than just a basketball and a hoop. Like, it's bringing people together and connecting people and helping people grow, and all that is really amazing. And shout out to Mika. Mika was phenomenal. She looked like she was possessed out there or something, in a good way though. But it just brings joy to your heart, like, to really see that.
This is Kristen Rydell. We thank you for joining us on the Staying Gang podcast. We also appreciate your service and that of your fellow nurses in the healthcare community. Once again, thank you for joining us, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me, Trey.
This concludes today's edition of the Staying Gang podcast with MSU women's basketball alum Kristen Rydell. I am Trey Reed.
The Staying Gang podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers, drops daily Monday through Friday on the Midwestern State Digital Network. We invite you to keep up with the podcast on social media at MSU Mustangs on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Want to listen to or download the cast? Go to MSUMustangs.com/podcasts. You've been listening to the Staying Gang podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network.